This morning, please take your Bible and open again to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. I'm going to start reading today at verse number 7, and we'll read through verse 15. That'll be our text for the message today. We are talking about the Holy Spirit in these last many weeks. Last week, I began a message that originally I thought I might be able to squeeze into one sermon, and I was not successful, so this is part number two of a message entitled, The Holy Spirit is a Person. The Holy Spirit is a Person, and this is part number two. I'm not sure yet if we'll have a part number three, but we'll see how today goes, okay? The Holy Spirit is a Person. John chapter 16, verse 7, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, as we continue our series on the Holy Spirit today, would you please guide my thoughts and words and help me to say what you want your people to hear today. May all of us have open ears and receptive hearts. May we receive what you have for us and then act upon it. Please bless this time together as we give the message in Jesus' name. Amen. We have talked about the Holy Spirit for the last several weeks. We started out by talking about some of the names or titles or terms that are given to him in the Bible. And then I began this message, which deals with the Holy Spirit as a person. And I'm saying this to make sure that everyone here understands that he's not just a force like gravity or wind, but rather he is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is a person who has come to live inside of us once we trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We've talked about him being a person so far. In this way, I mentioned that he has intelligence. I mentioned that he has feelings. I mentioned that he has a will. I also mentioned last week that he teaches us, that he guides us, that he commissions us. And I'm going to start today's outline or today's message with this thought. He commands us. The Holy Spirit, as a person, commands men and women to do his will. I'm referring right now to the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 29, where the Bible says, Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. If you're familiar with Acts chapter 8, you might remember that early in the chapter, there was a great revival that was happening in Samaria. And Philip, who is one of the deacons of the church at Jerusalem, had been sent there to preach and to deliver God's word. And there were many people being saved and many people being helped. But in the midst of that revival, God spoke to Philip and told him to go into the desert area. It would be presently called Gaza, all right? But into that desert area. And of course, when he got there, he would be told by the Lord to join himself, as this verse says, to the chariot. He saw a man riding in a chariot. This man happened to be reading the book of Isaiah in his chariot. And God the Holy Spirit told Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Of course, when he got in the chariot, he asked the man who happened to be an Ethiopian eunuch, do you understand what you're reading? And the man replied, how can I except some man should guide me? And the Bible goes on to say that Philip used that same scripture and explained to him that the scripture was talking about Jesus and Jesus being crucified and Jesus being buried and risen again and so forth. And then the man trusted Christ as his Savior and would later on get baptized as well. But the point I'm trying to draw out from this passage in Acts chapter 8 is that it was the Holy Spirit who commanded Philip. He commanded him first as far as the revival there in Samaria. He commanded him as far as going into the desert. He commanded him as far as joining himself to that chariot. He commanded him as far as explaining to this man what the passage was all about and the Savior and so forth. And then the man in the eunuch in the chariot being saved and baptized, okay? So the important thought is here is the Holy Spirit commanding men and women to do his will. You know, each of us in this room this morning probably, I'm guessing now, but probably have a Bible. And you may or may not have brought it with you. I hope you did bring it with you. But I hope you have it open in your lap and you're following along as we look at different verses and so forth. But we have a copy of the Bible, and that's God's written love letter to us. And we're supposed to read it, and we're supposed to study it, and we're supposed to memorize it. We're supposed to try to live by it. That's why God gave it to us. And most everything that God wants us to know and most everything that God wants us to do can be found in the pages of God's Word. However, there are sometimes some individual items that God wants us to follow through with that are not included in the Bible. For instance, in this story in Acts chapter 8, Philip did not read in the scriptures that he was supposed to leave Samaria and go down into the desert. He did not read in the scriptures that he was supposed to join himself to the chariot and explain to this man about salvation. We have that now, of course, but that's a recording of what took place. Philip didn't have that, okay? Yet, how did he know that he was to do that? Because God, the Holy Spirit, commanded him to do that. No, he didn't hear an audible voice, but he sensed God moving upon his heart to do that very thing. He was commanded by the Holy Spirit to speak to that man in that chariot. And of course, he followed through and did what the Lord told him to do. And by the way, because that man got a witness from Philip, the man got saved. And because he got saved, he would leave then and go to his hometown. And history says that he took that message of salvation with him and told others. And I've read that there was a church begun in his hometown because this event took place. Commanding people to do certain things is one of those things that the Holy Spirit does that proves that he's a person, that he is active and alive and working in people's lives. Yes, we have the Word of God, and yes, this is the primary source of God's instruction to us. I've heard it said, and I think I've said it before too, you don't need a voice when you have a verse. That's a good thing to remember. Primarily, God directs us through his word. But every now and then, there'll be something significant, something specific, something special that God wants you or me to do, and maybe even sometimes not do, that the Spirit of God will move upon our heart and command us to do. Every one of us would be wise to listen to that and to obey that because God's trying to direct your steps and guide you in your life. So he commands men. Another thing he does that proves that he's a person is that he restrains men. He restrains men. Now you can understand with me, I'm sure, when you think about God commanding men, that would be God telling them to do something. All right? But when God is restraining man, that means he's holding us back. Okay? It'd be as if there was someone here standing by the communion table and they wanted to run down that aisle there, and I was grabbing onto the back of their shirt and I was keeping them from going. That's restraining. God, the Holy Spirit, not only commands men, but he also restrains man. Do you remember this verse in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3? And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Notice here, and the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." If you know the context of Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 3, this is the time period where Noah's getting ready for the flood. And God is telling Noah, you know, to get ready for the flood and, you know, build the ark. And, of course, he's going to bring the animals to Noah and so forth. And he makes a prophecy, in a sense, here to Noah. And really, it's written down in God's Word, so it's for all of us, where God is saying here that his spirit will not always strive with man. This was a time period, of course, in man's history where the Bible says in that area of Genesis that all of man's thoughts were only evil continually. Kind of reminds me of today. There's a lot of that going around. But people just had wicked thoughts and evil thoughts all the time. And God the Holy Spirit was trying to restrain man, or, you know, striving with him is the word used here, but restraining man from all of his evil and all of his wickedness. And yet God says, that's not going to be forever. I mean, eventually I'm going to take my hands off and let man have his way. And of course, the flood would take place. We know that many years as Noah and his sons built the ark, many years later, the flood would actually happen. You know, even into our future, God's going to allow man to have his way and allow man to follow the Antichrist. And then, of course, after 7 years of tribulation, there's going to be a time where God's going to put down the Antichrist in his kingdom and usher in a perfect eternity after that. But God doesn't always strive or restrain man. Sometimes he allows man to have his way. I don't know about you, I'm really glad God is still restraining men and women today. Where would we be in the world today if there wasn't the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit? This is one of the things, by the way, why you don't want to be here after the rapture. I heard somebody say just a moment ago, the tribulation, that's where we'd be. Well, guess what? When the Spirit of God lifts off his restraining influence because he takes all the Christians home, when the salt and light of this earth, which is the believers, when the salt and light is taken out to heaven and man just is allowed to have his own way because the Holy Spirit just lifts his hand off that restraining influence that he has right now, just imagine how it's going to be. If it's as wicked as it is now, with him restraining somewhat, what's it going to be like then? I don't know about you. I don't want to be here when that takes place. And I'm glad to say, as I stand here, I won't be here when that takes place, because I know Jesus as my personal Savior. Well, the point I want you to see here in this subpoint is that the Holy Spirit is a restraining influence in this world. And by the way, he does this restraining not just to the folks who are unsaved and evil, keeping them from really getting into evil and wickedness and debauchery, but he also restrains even in our life. There are times when God keeps us from doing things that he knows would be a big mistake. There are times when he keeps us from making huge blunders. There are times when he kind of stands in the way. Do you remember the story in the Old Testament about Balaam and his donkey? And how he wanted to go a certain direction, and the donkey saw an angel, which Balaam didn't see. And the donkey basically wouldn't go, and eventually, you know, crushed his foot against a wall because he was not wanting to keep on going in that same direction. Of course, Balaam, kind of like us sometimes, was stubbornly wanting to go anyway and took it out on the donkey, you know. Not that you and I ever, you know, kicked the dog or... Anyway, Balaam did that, okay? But who was trying to stop him from going that direction? God was. God was trying to restrain him and keep him from going and making a huge mistake, because God had told him, "You're not to curse Israel. But there was this King Balak who was trying to influence him to do it anyway for great riches. The Holy Spirit is a restraining influence in this world, and he restrains unsaved people from committing more evil and wickedness and debauchery, but he also restrains Christians and keeps us sometimes from doing things that we ought not to do. I can't speak for you, I can speak for me. I'm really glad that he does restrain us sometimes. Where would we be if we didn't have that restraining influence in our life? So we're talking about things that prove that he's a person. He has intelligence, he has feelings, he has a will, he teaches us, he guides us, he commissions us, he commands us, he restrains us. By the way, did you know that he does this also? He intercedes for us. He intercedes for us. Listen to this Bible verse, would you? Romans 8, verse 26. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Did you notice the Bible says, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I do know this, that there have been times in my life, perhaps you can relate to this, there have been times in my life when I wasn't quite sure what to pray for or how to pray for a certain item. There's also been times in my life where I was so burdened about something, I couldn't hardly utter the words. Now, you may have found yourself in similar situations a time or two. Take heart, Christian friend. You have the Spirit of God who, especially during those times, will help you in your prayer life. He will help you to know how to pray. He will help you to know what to say. He will also help you to pray when you can't seem to utter the words. Oh, I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit of God, who helps me with that utterance, as the Bible says. He maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Did you notice that? Groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit intercedes on behalf of us with the Father. He talks to the Father on our behalf, especially when we don't know how to pray or how to get the words out or even how to utter the words. Boy, I'm thankful for that. I am so thankful for that, because there have been times, as I said, where maybe I was so burdened about something and my heart was so heavy and I didn't even know what to say. All I could do was, sometimes it's been different at different times, but sometimes just sit there with my eyes closed and my head bowed, sometimes on my knees. I've had it already where I'm just laying flat out on the floor. I mean, the words just wouldn't come. But in my spirit, in my heart, I was somewhat talking to God and just asking him to help with a certain item. God helps us during those times. God, the Holy Spirit, helps us during those times. And I would say this, and I think this is an important thing to say for all of us. Even when we are able to say the words, we need to trust the Holy Spirit to help us, because he knows what words should be used. He knows whether or not what we're praying for is something we even ought to be praying about. He knows whether or not we should, this is going to sound strange to some people perhaps, but he's going to know if we should even be praying about it. He's also going to know if we should stop praying about it. I don't know if you've ever had this or not, but you've been in prayer. I just mentioned myself. I've been in prayer and there was some kind of, you know, not an audible voice, but a voice on the inside saying, stop. I don't need to hear about that again. Or, you know what you need to do, son? You just need to wait. I've heard your prayer. You need to wait on me. I'll take care of it, but you need to wait on me. Stop concerning yourself with that. Just trust me and wait on me to take care of that. I'm assuming that most all of you have had times like that. How do you know? the Holy Spirit and you and I just trusting Him and allowing Him to help us in that way, to intercede for us. Have you ever felt like this, where after you prayed about something, and it was important to you, but after you prayed about it, you thought to yourself, well, man alive, I don't know if God understood what I was asking for there. What a jumbled up mess of a prayer that was. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and He takes that jumbled up mess of words and you know, fixes it right and hands it to the Father and says, this is what he needs, or this is what she needs. It didn't come through that way, but I know him or I know her, and that's what they wanted. Here it is, Father. Boy, I'm glad we have the Holy Spirit to help us in our prayer life. Sometimes I'll mention this also, as far as him interceding for us. Sometimes the Holy Spirit also prompts us to pray. Have you ever sensed that? Where maybe you're going about your day and you're going about your life and you have things that are important to you and they need to be prayed about, but you're so busy trying to work it all out yourself. And all of a sudden the Spirit of God says, you know what you should be doing about that, son or daughter? You should be praying about that. And then you might do what I do and say, Lord, please forgive me for not praying about this sooner and talking with you about this sooner. And me trying to fix it all and handle it by myself. Lord, would you please take into consideration this problem or this project or whatever it is that I'm praying with him about? Would you take consideration of this, Lord, and handle it according to your will? God, the Holy Spirit is very important in our prayer life. You know that? Very important. And I mentioned several things just in the last few minutes that I don't have in my notes, so don't ask me to repeat it. But just things that he's reminding me of as I'm standing up here, ways in which he helps us in our prayer life. I'll just simply summarize it by saying this. He intercedes for men and women. He helps us in our prayer life. So we are talking about things that prove he's a person. He intercedes for us. And then here's another item that he does for us. He speaks to men. He speaks to men and women. This kind of goes along with the commanding part that I started out with today. But he speaks to men, okay? Listen, you're there in John, I'm pretty sure. Let me show you in the previous chapter, chapter 15 of John. John 15, verse 26. This is a good section of John, by the way. 14, 15, 16. Look at chapter 15 and verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, and hopefully you remember that the word Comforter there that is capitalized is referring to the Spirit of God. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Well, what does that mean? That means he's going to teach us. He's going to teach us. There's another verse that we read today. If you notice here in John chapter 16, it was part of our text in verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. I want you to know that the Spirit of God will speak to you. By the way, in 2 Peter 1, verse 21, it says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Those men that God used to write down the scriptures, they were taught by the Spirit of God, and they wrote down what God told them to write down. He speaks to men. He speaks to men. The Holy Spirit speaks to men and women by impressing things upon their heart. It might be while you're reading the Bible. It might be while you're listening to a sermon. It might be while you're just walking through your day and you think about something that you read earlier, and God, the Holy Spirit, will teach you something. He'll speak to you about something. God, the Holy Spirit, is very good at reminding us of something we read in the Bible. How many times haven't we read the Bible only to see something today that we didn't see before. You know who makes that happen? The Holy Spirit. He speaks to us. He speaks to us. I don't know how many times this has happened to me, but I'll say at least a half a dozen times where I've been reading in the Bible and seeing something that I never saw before, and then trying to share that with someone else, and that someone else was looking at me like, what? Where do you see that? I never saw that before. And God reminded me after those half a dozen times, the reason they didn't see it the way you saw it is because I didn't give it to them, I gave it to you. It's for you, son. It's not for them. Don't worry, I'm speaking to them, and they see things perhaps you wouldn't see, but I'm speaking to them also. See, God does speak to us. If we're in tune with Him and listening to Him, He will speak to us nearly every day. I'm really, really glad that I'm reading through the Bible again, as we try to do every year, my wife and I, and seeing things this time through that I didn't see in previous times before. I'm thankful for the Bible, and I'm thankful that it is that way. I don't know about you, I'm really enjoying our study in 1 Kings. I'm really enjoying our study in Jeremiah, too. In fact, I'm even enjoying our study in 2 Corinthians. You say, you guys are studying all that? Yeah, that's called adult Sunday school and Sunday night service and Wednesday night service. See, when you come just Sunday morning, you only get a little tidbit of what's happening here during a week. There's a lot that goes on here in different places that we're studying together and trying to learn together from God's Word. I want to learn God's Word. How about you? And I want to try to live by it as well. And so I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit of God who speaks to men and teaches us things. I don't know if you know this or not. I didn't tell you this, but I really had a good time Wednesday night. I had a great time. I felt like God was with me, and I felt like God was speaking to me and through me, and He was really helping me and so forth. And I went home, and in a sense, and I hope you'll understand this, I really enjoyed myself. I really, really did. Now, if you didn't enjoy yourself Wednesday night, please don't tell me, because I had a good time. And I'm having a good time this morning, too. And if you're not, please don't tell me, because I'm enjoying myself. I'm glad that we have a Holy Spirit who helps us. He is intelligent, He has feelings, He has a will, He teaches us, He guides us, He commissions us, He commands us, He restrains us, thank God for that, He intercedes for us, He speaks to us. Well, let's go on and just see what else we can touch on here this morning. I'm not sure I'm going to get through all of it this morning, so we may have a part three next week. But I want you to know also that the Holy Spirit is a person, and it's proved by this thought that comes from God's Word. He can be obeyed. He can be obeyed. Say, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Listen to the Scripture. Acts chapter 10, verses 19 to 21. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? This passage, Acts chapter 10, do you remember this? Peter was given a vision. Peter was given a vision, really, that had to do with God accepting Gentiles into His family. And he had this vision of this great sheet. And there were all kinds of different unclean animals in that sheet that he was seeing in this vision. And he was commanded to eat some of those animals. And Peter said, oh, no, of course he was a Jewish person. Oh, no, I've never eaten anything unclean, and I can't. And then God seemed to influence him and say to him, don't call that common, which I have cleansed. And it was a message to Peter to show him that God was cleansing Gentiles and adding them into His family. And so when the vision was all done, there was a knock on his door, and lo and behold, these men sent from Cornelius were knocking at his door and wanted to take him back to Cornelius and have a discussion with them about whether or not God was saving Gentiles. And so Peter obeyed the Lord and went with him. There's another place in the scriptures, and I used this verse last week, where it says that God gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey him. So again, here's the thought. We're trying to explain and show you that the Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person. Another reason why we know he is because he can be obeyed. He can be obeyed, okay? Like, I started out with this last week and this week. He's not a force. It's not like gravity. You know, gravity, you don't obey gravity. It just is. I'm glad it is. Otherwise, we'd all be floating here this morning. But we're tied to the ground, see? Or like you, you're tied to your chair because of gravity. It keeps you there. Gravity keeps me where I am, too. But gravity is just a force, see? The Holy Spirit is not a force. He's a person who can be, according to God's word, obeyed or disobeyed. Now, you and I would do well to obey him. Amen? To do what he says. If he says not to do something, don't do that. If he says to do something, you would be wise to do that. The Holy Spirit can either be obeyed or not obeyed by the Christian. The question is, I guess for all of us, which one are you going to do? Are you going to obey him? Are you going to follow his instructions in the Bible? Or are you going to follow his instructions when he's impressing something on your heart? Are you going to obey him? Or are you not going to obey him? By the way, obedience brings blessing. Disobedience does not. The choice really is up to you. You and I need to learn to obey the Holy Spirit of God. And again, he can be obeyed or disobeyed by the Christian. Not only can he be obeyed, these are things that prove he's a person, he can also be lied to. He can be lied to. Do you remember Acts chapter 5? At the end of chapter 4 of Acts and spilling into chapter 5, the disciples are being generous with one another. Some of them are selling off property and animals and other things and bringing the sale price of those items to the apostles to be distributed to those that are in need. All right? There's two people mentioned in chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, who the Bible shows lied to the Holy Spirit of God. Not only to Peter and the other apostles, but to the Spirit of God. And Peter said so. So what happened was they sold a certain section of land that they had. And when they brought the price of that land to Peter and the other apostles, they said it was for this much. But actually what they... I'm sorry. They said it was for this much, the amount that they brought. But actually the price was far above that. Okay, so this is what they said, but this is what they sold it at. And apparently they kept the extra for themselves. But anyway, they lied. And in Acts chapter 5, it says, "But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" Do you remember what happened to him? Not long after Peter said that, he fell down dead. A little bit later on, his wife comes in, not knowing what had happened. By the way, they had some disciples carry him out and bury him. So there's no dead body lying there when she comes. She comes in and Peter questions her and said, "Did you sell the land for so much?" She agreed with her husband and said, "Yep, we sold it for so much." Not long after, she also fell down dead. They carried her out and buried her too. Wouldn't that be a shocker? When the ushers take the offering, all of a sudden people start dropping over dead? Hopefully that never happens, right? Hopefully nobody has to drag somebody out and bury him. But you get the point that happened here in Acts chapter 5, right? He can be lied to. The Holy Spirit was lied to by Ananias and Sapphira, this couple in the early church. And Again, you notice how severely God dealt with them because of it. I wonder why God included that in his word. Could it be that he wanted us to learn a lesson from that? Not necessarily that he's going to make you drop over dead if you didn't give the proper offering or say something you shouldn't say or not tell the truth. But I think what it does illustrate is how seriously God takes his work and how seriously he takes our offerings, but most importantly, how seriously he takes our obedience and telling the truth when it comes to our relationship with God. Doesn't it also show that God the Holy Spirit knows if we're telling the truth or not? It does show that, doesn't it? He knows whether or not we're telling the truth. That's one thing about, you know, humans dealing with humans. There are times when we have, to put it gently, pulled the wool over someone's eyes, didn't tell the complete truth about something, maybe even to make ourselves look better than we should have or needed to, and didn't really tell all the truth or the whole truth. And you might have pulled the wool over humans' eyes, but you can never pull the wool over God's eyes. God, the Holy Spirit, knows whether or not we're telling the truth. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that. By the way, we need to remember that during our prayer life. How many times haven't I heard people talk about, you know, attendances in their church? And then kind of teasingly and kiddingly use this little statement, you know, well, evangelistically speaking. And then they talk about numbers. Well, there's no doubt we'd all like to have bigger numbers. But how about telling the truth? You hear about the guy who said that his attendance was... How many folks are you running in Sunday school? Well, we're running about 500. We're only catching about 30. But we're running 500. It's all in how you phrase it, isn't it? Anyway, God the Holy Spirit can be lied to. That's another important point to prove that he's a person. He's a real person, not just a force. Let me review, and then I'm going to have to wrap this up because our time's about gone here this morning. And sure enough, we do have a part three coming. He is intelligent. He has intelligence. He has feelings. He has a will. He teaches men. He guides men. He commissions men. He commands men. He restrains men. He intercedes for men. He speaks to men. He can be obeyed by men. And he can be lied to by men. When we come back next Sunday, I'll do my best to finish this up, this one part about the Holy Spirit being a person. But I hope as we go along, you're not only learning more about him, but you're learning to appreciate him more. This is a very special person that God's put in your life and mine to live within us as a Christian. He promises in his word he'll never leave us or forsake us. And no matter where we go, he's there. Aren't you glad for that? I know I am. And I hope you are as well. Let's stand together. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you that he's with us forever. He is the third person of the Trinity. He really is God within us. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm sure these folks are as well. Lord, help us to understand him better. Help us to love him better. Help us to respect him better. Help us to listen and obey him better. Bless this invitation. Have your will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen.